Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning. What a blessing it is just to be in church today, and I trust that you've already been ministered to. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and for not only God's people and membership of the church, but whoever comes through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, that you would sense the presence of God here, and that you would be able to receive that which will be a help and a blessing to you as a place of refuge. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. A lot of things taking place here in April. We have prayer and fasting awareness, and we do want to help you to be aware of what God has given to us in our prayer and fasting, and then, of course, aware of the resurrection of Christ as we'll be looking to celebrate that in Easter services a couple of weeks from today. But this is a message I believe that God has for us this morning, and with all these things on our minds and things taking place. Luke chapter 24. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 44 down to verse 49. This is after Jesus has resurrected from the grave and he meets with his disciples, and this is what he presents to them. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Now, verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Until ye be endued with power from on high. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you once again, what a blessing we've already experienced as being in church in the Lord's house. Thank you for your presence. But now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word, we've read this passage of Scripture. God, we need the understanding of it. And we need to be able to be strengthened by it. And so I pray that you would empower the preaching once again. I ask that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Do you know, as a born-again believer, someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to know that you're saved? Do you know that as a Christian, as a believer, you have power to do the Lord's will? You have power to do whatever it is that God would ask you to do. Verse 49, that's exactly what he wanted the apostles mainly, who would carry on the work that he would have established, the New Testament church, during and through the apostolic age. And he wanted them to know that you will have power to accomplish in this apostolic age what I have for you to accomplish. Which, in understanding that, then it would help all of us believers throughout this New Testament church age, understand that He gave not only the apostles power in the apostolic age, but he has given to us Christians the power in this church age to accomplish whatever it is that God would have us to accomplish. Ultimately, getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world, helping people to realize that there needs to be repentance, and that repentance and the remissions of sin, a confession of forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name, in Christ's name. So that's what he's presenting right here. This morning, I want to bring out some truths concerning what he says in verse 49, endued with power. We have to know what that is. If that's something that God has revealed to the apostles, Jesus revealed to the apostles, and he reveals to New Testament Christianity, that this is something that we have, you have power to do the Lord's will, I need to understand it. I need to know more about it. It's power from on high. That means it's not of this world. It comes to us by way of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. It was sent to us through Christ as the promise of the Father. That's why he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father, Almighty Creator God, God the Father. We understand that there is a Trinity in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it's God the Father who had sent his Son, who is revealing to us this power that he is going to send as the promise of the Father that would give believers this power. So it's power from on high, sent by God through Jesus as the promise of the Father. Now, as we understand that God has preserved for us the Old Testament, and he reveals that to them. He gives them understanding that they would understand which was written in the law of Moses. Basically, the five first books of the Bible is a Pentateuch, meaning five, and the laws of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything that's in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, concerning Christ. He reveals to us here that through all the understanding of the prophecies that would take place in this New Testament church age. First of all, beginning the New Testament, beginning with the coming of Christ. So because of the understanding of the Old Testament, and now the understanding of the New Testament teachings of Christ, we know this power, this power that has been endued within believers would take place at Pentecost, which is covered in the scriptures in Acts chapter 2. If you want to learn more about it, if you want to read it, it's there in Acts chapter 2. But this is what in chapter 24, verse 49, he's referring to the coming of and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I think most Christians understand that. That's what we're looking at here. That's what he is revealing to them that would take place there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But what is its power? What is it? Do we hear it about it? We understand the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, to a certain extent, but do we truly understand the power involved? What is that power? Whatever it is, we know it's from God to man. Amen. And if you know Christ and you've received Christ, then you have it within you. And the person of God, the Holy Spirit, he's dwelling within us. But it's power in us that came from God to man. So we understand that this would be, if it come from heaven, it's not physical power. If it come from heaven, it's spiritual. Because God is a spirit. The psalmist said in Psalm 62:11, power belongeth unto God. All power, the idea of power, belongs unto God. In Ephesians in chapter 3, and let me just read a couple verses here. I want you to write these down and take them home, study them afterwards. But in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by this. Hold up here. Let me get over to chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So this power has to do with strength, with might, mighty strength, power from God, by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. We have that. With the understanding or not, that is something that has been promised by God, something that we have, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's in us. Power to strengthen. Mighty power from God. So in the very same book in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 10, then he says this, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this power, again, it's strength. It is something that will strengthen us mentally, possibly physically, but definitely spiritually. It is power from God that brings to us strength in the inner man. In Colossians in chapter 1, let me again just putting this together, it's what it is. It's what is this power? The Bible reveals to us what this power is, but do we understand what the Bible is revealing to us about this power? That's the key. Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 11, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, being able to give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. So this power gives us this joy when we need it, and the patience when we need it, and the long-suffering when we need it. It's power to equip us to do whatever it is that God would have us to do in representing Christ as Christians in the world. Power. Have you ever heard of horsepower? Horsepower, the term originated, I'm told, in the 1800s, and it was to determine, they would use this by determining how many horses a steam engine would replace. Because everything was done by horsepower, but now they're getting into engines and steam engines, and so they would want to rate the steam engines by trying to figure out how many horses this engine would be able to replace. And of course, it has been around for some time since then, but that would be the origination of this term, horsepower. Today, we understand it's a car's engine is rated by its horsepower. I remember the 70s. Most, well, at least half of those here probably remember the 70s. But being a teenager in the 70s was all about a fast car. And a fast car needed horsepower. And so everyone that was able to purchase a car then would have to look at it and say, how can I increase the horsepower in this car? And they would had several things that you could do to increase the horsepower in the car. Now, the engine was there. You could replace the engine, but we couldn't afford to replace the engine. But you found out that, well, if you put headers on the engine, then the headers on the engine would give you a little more horsepower. And if you change the gears, changing of the gears, the transmission and the rear end and the different things, and that would give you a little more horsepower. If you even got a higher octane fuel. So when you was getting ready to go out and going from one restaurant to the other restaurant or hanging out and just being around the other teenagers, then before you go out to be able to hang around and you're in this car and you're wanting to have a fast car, and so everybody had to have the slicks on the back and air shocks to pump it up in the back and little tires on the front. Now, I like that because one of the reasons that we would, in a looking for horsepower, you get the bigger tires on the back, little tires on the front. One of the most exciting things is get enough horsepower to do a wheelie. To be able in that car to be able to get enough horsepower and to get the right gears in it to where when you get into it, you can actually pull the front wheels off the ground. That was doing something. Yeah. And if you had a car where you could pull a wheelie, I mean, everybody was envious around you. And you would go through and you would hear headers on the car, have it all beefed up, and that horsepower, it just made you feel something. It made you feel like you were important. It made you feel like everybody was envious of your car. And it was your car. Horsepower. It means a lot. It meant a lot back then. It means fast. Speed, I'm telling you. Just thinking about it brings back a lot of memories I need to put behind me. It represented something that I wanted at that point in my life. What about God power? I think I traded in my horsepower desire for my God power desire. Once I got married, I traded in the car horsepower to motorcycle horsepower, and realizing that speed was going to kill me after I had my first child, I thought I better get rid of that too. And I focused on God's power. But the horsepower helps us to understand a little bit more about God's power. Endued with power. It's more important. Much more important. I've had thoughts of, well, I wish I had that car back. Because it would be worth a lot more money today. It's an antique. Yeah. And that's something, things that we have are now antiques. That shows a sign of old age. Amen. But endued with power. How do we get this? I researched a lot back then on what I could do to my 64 Chevelle to get more horsepower. I mean, that's how I lived. I thought, I can do. I read books. I read the magazine. What can I do? I want to be able to pull those wheels off the front. I want to be able to have enough horsepower to be able to do what I wanted to pull the front wheel. I mean, just to go around and put everything into. I thought a lot about it. How do I get this God power? Verse 49, Jesus is telling us, he told the apostles what to do. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Believe it's coming. Look for the promise. Look to God to be endued. It's available to all believers, but many do not experience it. The greatest power known to man is the power from above. That which has been promised by God the Father for all that believe in Him and receive the Son. It's power given that can only be accessible through faith, prayer, and fasting. The power that God has promised that automatically comes within us. I mean, when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. God promised He would send Him. He has come. When you get saved, He comes to dwell within you. And He is there as the power from on high to enable us to be able to accomplish whatever it is that God would have us to accomplish, to be able to meet our desires when our desires are right in the will of God. The power is there. As we read last week, the idea that what prayer and fasting is all about, it begins with faith. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. I think that'd be greater than pulling the wheels off the front, off the pavement. Being able to have the power to remove mountains. If I could understand that, if I could realize what that truly means in my Christian life, then I would want that faith. Because you cannot access this power that was promised by God that indwells within every believer without faith. And you have little faith, you have little power. You have great faith, you have great power. Faith gives us power. Understanding prayer, as the choir sang about this morning, gives you greater power. Gives you greater faith, because now it's connected to prayer, which is a open line between you and God 24/7. Prayer is great power, faith. Faith, this idea of greatness, and prayer is greater, and fasting is greatest. It's accessible, this power within us, it's acceptable to us. The only way to have access to it is through, first of all, faith. And when you have faith, then you can access this. It's great. And then when you put prayer with it, it's greater. And then when you have to, if there are certain situations in life that you're dealing with, then you can add fasting to it, and it's the greatest access that's known to mankind to the power that comes from God. That word endued. Given qualities or abilities. That's what the definition, Webster's definition of endued. Given qualities has been given to us. Qualities or abilities. A given power to equip comes from high, on high. It's been endued, it's been given, and it's a power, and it's there to equip. In 2 Chronicles in chapter 2, and there was speaking of Solomon, and it says this: God hath given to David a wise son, endued, given qualities or abilities, endued with prudence and understanding. To do what God had for Solomon to do, that prudence is discretion and practical in practical affairs, understanding how to see life and knowing exactly how to respond to whatever he had to face in life, which was an understanding of looking to God for the wisdom that we have need of in order to see things as God would have us to see it, so that we can respond as God would have us to respond to life. That's power. It's part of power. James 3:13 says, speaks of a wise man endued with knowledge. That's power. It's given to me by God. It is connected to the Holy Spirit of God, and I need to have access to it. And as I have access to it, then I can have understanding. If I have access to it, I can have the wisdom that I need. I can have the patience that I need. If I have access to it and I desire it, I can have it. And what it does for me, it helps me and enables me to accomplish the will of God in every area of my life. It's power. It's power. Wow, we need it. It's God's power needs to be desired. Why should I desire it? My wife could care less about horsepower. She might prefer turtle power. If you've ever been behind her, you realize she does not use horsepower. Yeah. Because she doesn't have any desire for what it represents. Speed. She has no desire for that. So she will never do what it takes to have horsepower. Yeah. I had to ask myself in preparing this message, do you desire God's power at this point in your life more than you desired horsepower back as a teenager? Am I researching it to find out what I can do to gain more? Is it on my mind? Why should I desire this power from on high? You know, the number one reason is because there is a God, and God knows that we need it. Faith tells me that there's a God faith helps me to not doubt that. And if I know there's a God, and I know that the Bible is God's word, that's his instructions, that's his love letter to me, then I also want to know what it says. And one of the things that Jesus knew that his apostles would need to go through the apostolic age was power. Don't leave without the power. Do not leave Jerusalem. It's coming. I've got it for it. It's coming. I've got a design plan. It's been designed from the beginning of all time. It was revealed to us in the Old Testament. It was revealed to us in Moses and the law. It was revealed to us in the prophets. It was revealed to us in the Psalms. All this, it is coming. I've opened your eyes so you can believe the truths, that you can understand the scriptures to be the word of God. And so now you're there in Jerusalem. Tarry there. Don't leave. Because before you can accomplish what I have for you to accomplish, you need power. God knew they would need this power. God knows we need it. And God wants us to have it. God knows I need it. I need to know that I need it. If I know that God, I know that I need what God has for me, that I want all that God has for me. If God wants me to have it, I want it. Because having what God has for you is the key to my contentment in life. If I don't have all that God has for me, then I cannot have the contentment that's associated with having what you want. Desiring to have what you have. See, that's people still don't understand this idea of contentment. They think that this will make me give me more contentment. If I have that, that will give me more contentment. And if I have more of this, that'll get me. No. That's not, you'll never reach contentment by looking at something else to bring contentment. No, you reach contentment by being thankful for what you already have. You learn to be content by understanding that you have, as long as you know you have what God has for you at this point in your life, then you can be content by knowing that you have what God wants you to have. That does not mean that he will not give you more later on, whatever it may be, and he will, but until you are content with what you have, don't expect God to give you any more. We have God. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ. We have it. We have power, endued power within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do you not understand what you already have? Want what you already have by understanding what it'll do for you when you yield to it, when you use what you already have, when you're thankful for it. My source of contentment, my help for life, is having faith, promises, and the blessings that God has for me. If I don't have all that God wants me to have, it's not God's fault. As children, of course, I come from a large family. Dad was a tremendous provider of our needs. Of our needs. When you have 13 children, you know, stop trying to give everybody everything they desire. Let's just make sure that your needs are met, and let's be providing for that. If we would ever go away hungry, it was not my mom and dad's fault, because they always put the food on the table. We just had to learn to eat what was put on our plates. Because what was put on our plates was enough to meet our need. You learn to eat ketchup sandwiches. Yeah. You learn to realize you can make a meal out of a little cornbread and milk. If you went away hungry, it's not because the needs were not there to be met. It's because you didn't take of what was there. You weren't thankful for what you had. If I don't have all that God wants me to have, God wants me to have great faith. God wants me to have a relationship with Him. God wants me to be able to talk with Him through prayer. God wants me to be able to have a peace of mind in whatever God's answer is through prayer and fasting. Yeah. It's available. Evidently, you don't have a great enough desire for what God wants you to have, because what God wants you to have is what you have need of. Lastly, this morning, why should I desire it? First of all, God knows we need it. God wants us to have it. The reason I need it is God revealed to me that we battle a more powerful enemy than man. I should desire it because my enemy is more powerful than man. And if I don't have the power from God, I will be defeated by the power of the enemy. In Acts in chapter 19, we'll close with here, but it comes, all of it's part of it. It just brings it all together. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Then a certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a personal walk with Him. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Seven men. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, confessed their sin, turned from the evil ways. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts. That's how they've been living their lives, and brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They said, "We're not going to let money, the love of mammon, keep us from the power of God." So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Because they didn't have the power of God, the spirits knew it. The evil spirits, Paul, we know, not going to mess with him. Jesus, we know, we're not going to mess with him. But you don't have their power. And they were defeated. We will not win spiritual battles without understanding our need for God's power. Jesus knew that the only thing that Satan fears in this world is the power of God. If I'm going to defeat the devil, I must have the power of God. And dude, if you're saved, it's there. You just have to access it. Do you have a desire to have it? If I could have every head bowed this morning, understand it. It's real. The power of God's real. The power of Satan is real. Do you have what God wants you to have to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish? Father, we bow before you now. We do love you. I thank you, Lord, for this understanding that you've given to us through the word, of this power that you have promised and you have placed it in us. We have been endued as believers with this power. Help us to desire it and do what we must do to experience it. Bless in this invitation. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.